And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Warriors, come out to play! Warriors, come out to play!
Hello and welcome back to Deja Vu edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast. Second game, second Warriors blowout, second time Ethan and Tim. I actually saw somebody on Twitter go, man, Ethan and Tim love to jump on after the Warriors lose. So they're doing it again, random listener, because they lost by 39 today.
Yeah, it was weird. I put in a call to Anthony. It was like, yes, the Warriors lost. Let's do a podcast.
Both of them said they didn't really want to come on. And then when it was about a 30-point deficit in the third, they're like, got to come on and talk about this.
Let's do an hour of this.
You know what? I'll just like peek behind the curtain. I think we try to be as objective as possible, but I will just say we actually favor them doing better. We just won't lie about it when it's bad. Like it is good for business when they do well, but we are not in the Bob Fitzgerald position to have to polish it when it is anything less than good.
It's not credible when you go either too far one way or too far the other when reality is staring you in the face either way. So we do not mind criticizing this team when it loses by an average of 32.5 points per game in its first two games. That's a lot of points to be losing by in the first two games. They've looked terrible. This one started off okay, but then it just, went to crap. The whole thing went to crap.
First half was okay. But I wanted to start actually where I just was about 10 minutes ago, which was Steph Curry's Zoom call. That was as pointed as I've heard Steph, I think, in a long time post game. He had a quote about basically their collective group IQ needs to get better, particularly when they're missing shots and getting frustrated. They need to not just kind of go away from the offense and just start trying to. Sounds like he was kind of dinging some of the one-on-one play by Wiggins and Oubre, trying to fight through their struggles. And then he even had a little quote about Wiseman where he was kind of asked about him. He said, hopefully when we talk about these adjustments, they can let him shine a bit more. I don't know. It's Steph. So those probably don't sound like crazy quotes, but it was just like, and then he said something about like, we need to win immediately. He said that kind of to close it out. Like he's kind of,
Like he's been on Twitter. Sounds like he's seeing some of the things that have been said about him.
That's Steph. He loves to rip the team after they lose. He loves to get on those podcasts.
He loves failure. He's clearly frustrated. It's obvious. The issue, I guess, that people would point to is that he is part of what's been wrong.
He's not making shots.
He's not making shots. I think people can overreact to it a little bit. We're talking two games. He's a high variance player. When the shot goes in, everything's great and wonderful, but it is something people will point to. And look, this team doesn't have the collective IQ of the Dynasty Era team. That's just a reality. So the question is, what are they going to do? The thing I noticed, I'm sure you guys noticed as well, more high screen and roll with him and Wiseman. I got to get used to saying Wiseman.
It's Wiseman. It is Wiseman. I have been told James Wiseman told Raymond Ritter it's Wiseman.
How do these things even start? How does this even happen? Anyway, high screen and roll with Steph and Wiseman. That's something that's a little bit more simplified basketball, and they might need simplified basketball because they don't have the capacity for complicated basketball.
Yeah, and I think you saw that Steph meme after the Oubre force, dribble right, dribble left, dribble right, dribble left, go dive into the lane and force up a shot. I think he got fouled on it or the ball got knocked out, and Steph kind of grimacing. You never know what guys are reacting to, but that definitely seemed like he was not too thrilled with the offense just being Kelly Oubre trying to figure out how to put the ball in the bucket and not being able to do that. We'll see. Again, it's It's two games against two tough teams on the road, although, you know, can you imagine what that would have been like if there was a crowd there? You know, it's early, but I think Oubre and Wiggins are the two guys that were supposed to, you know, they fit them. You know, this is the wings, two-way wings. This is what they're going to be. This is like they were, when, you know, guys they can build around Steph and Draymond and, you know, whenever Clay's back. And they've been, instead of the reasons why they're better, they've been the worst parts of this team. The worst, you know, important parts of this team. We can talk about some other players, but those two guys, it's not just the shots. I always try to talk about other things than just making the shot, but at some point, to be a competent NBA player making the money that they're making, you just have to make shots. I don't care how it is. You have to be able to put the ball in the basket. And they clearly are struggling, just rudimentary 5-foot shots in traffic. They can't make them. And you could tell they're thinking about it.
Well, yeah, for sure. And like, they need to get themselves out of this funk. But that's almost like the thing I'm least worried is like their 3-point percentage, because what we talked about going into the season was basically, hey, they're not going to be 40% 3-point shooters. They're not going to be 38%. They're pretty steadily, Wiggins at 33, Oubre in that 33 to 35 range. Maybe he can bump it up a little bit more. Today they go a combined 0-9. I think if I do the math, I think there's something like 2-21 or something combined from three so far. I think I saw a stat that Oubre was 0-19 on non-dunks this season. He has not made a non-dunk.
He's having a hard time around the rim.
Yeah.
This is a big, big struggle, no question.
The general point, though, is they have track records that they're going to be better than this. They're going to make more of these shots. My bigger question is like it's a systematic question. It's a Steve Kerr question. I think we can kind of get into, and like, I understand like Steve Kerr is trying to form his system around these players. And like, if you're going to do it, it's going to take time and it's going to be thorny. And he seems to be okay with this growth process of that. But it's the question that Ethan kind of brought up earlier, like, you're not going to turn these guys into Sean Livingston, David West, and Andre Iguodala. So at what point do you kind of scrap that idea in general, or do you?
You can't scrap it because you need them out there doing what they do. But I think, I think what we're going to see and we already can feel is this is going to turn into a Steph Weissman offense.
Yeah.
And, you know, it probably should just based on the talents we've seen and understanding that, you know, Weissman is so young, is so inexperienced, and yet showing what he's showing. He's their second best offensive player, and maybe their best efficiency wise in the first two games. Obviously, that will not extend. I'm just saying, if you just took the data from the first two games, this guy is putting the ball in the basket, and defenses have to move when he's out there, and he's only going to get better. Now we'll see how that all extends, and when Draymond's on the floor, but I think this is where they're going to have to tweak it and then try to get Wiggins into it. He's obviously the 20-point career scorer. He's got to have to find points. He's just going to have to do it. You know, I get into this whole, it's a system, it's a coaching, he's on it. Just go get buckets. That's what you're saying. Steph Curry, throughout his career, has played for some weird coaches, some good coaches, some middling coaches. He went and got buckets. And if you're an NBA player making $30 million a year and you are the number one overall pick and you have those skills, you just got to go get a basket or two. You just have to. And Wiggins is really struggling doing that. And Oubre is you know, has looked even uglier doing it. Certainly did today. And if you can tweak it, you could set a different rotation. You could set a different system. If they can't put the ball in the basket from 5 feet, then the whole thing is not going to look very good this season.
And with Oubre, it's also that he's not looking for Steph off the ball, and that's another aspect. It's the lack of passing. I guess we file that under basketball IQ, I don't know what, but you've seen these plays which every Warriors fan knows what to look for, where Steph gives it up and then he goes along the baseline and he pops out, and Oubre just doesn't see him. And I don't know if that's something that you can, it seems like it's something you can coach into people. It seems like it's something, hey, look for that, that's part of the play, that's what's going to happen. But have not seen it so far. And then Pascal had some, you know, flashes of offensive moments, but defensively it's looking really rough. You know, you could just see some plays where he was standing right in front of Middleton and you just knew Middleton was about to shoot it effortlessly over him. So it's rough, man. But at the same time, long term.
He
did that with
Kyrie too. It's been weird. You're right. Like some of his defensive mistakes have been bad the first couple games.
Yeah, but long term, Wiseman though it's just so huge.
Yeah, let me ask you guys on that front. You know, Tim said it earlier. You both obviously seem to be in agreement on it that like you know a month from now it probably should be a Wiseman Curry offense. And in a lot of ways, it should be a probably pretty heavy dose of the high screen Wiseman Curry game. Some of their best plays today were that. How okay will Steve Kerr be with that? That's not Steve Kerr. And the problem is this personnel isn't really Steve Kerr right now, really, right?
Yeah. I mean, necessity is the mother of, well, fuck, guess we got to do it. I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, do you want to watch the ball not going in or do you want to watch the ball going in? Maybe Steve Kerr needs to give away pieces of his soul for the necessity of what this has to be of Wiseman. This is crazy. I think it's almost underrated. I'm writing about it. This Wiseman three-point shot, this was not what he was advertised as. I don't think anybody had a reason to expect this. It looks good. I mean, it's not going to be the percentage, small sample size of, I think, 4 or 5 that he's been shooting these past two games. But
not an 80% three-point shooter? You know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, newsflash.
I don't know.
Oh, I thought that was empty here. We were ready to jump in.
It's the first 80% three-point shooter over two games since 2018. These
Chris Bosh comparisons are looking pretty good right now.
But yeah. Let me tell you something. And I'm going to mention the article. The difference is Chris Bosh's standing reach is like 9-1, 9-2. Like, nobody can block this thing. Wiseman releases that. If you look at his release point, it's straight up vertical. He doesn't even go forward with it. That is unblockable. So if that is a good three-point shot, that's just a weapon that you can't really do much about. And then when you combine it with Steph and the pick and roll, yeah, Steve Kerr is going to have to do a lot more high screen and roll if this is legit.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin. What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan? What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
I don't even think Steve can't, like, it's, I don't think it's anti-Steve, especially the way Curry plays. I think it's the, if you use the screen to create the mismatch to go all ISO, then dribble, dribble, dribble. Steve doesn't like that. But the way they were using it today, where it's like Steph is coming off and he's whipping the ball all over, you know, getting guys open shots or he's hitting Wiseman. He didn't even really look for a shot that much. I think that's the way he could do. I do think that fits Steve offense. We've seen that with other guys.
Yeah, they've done it with Steph and Draymond clearly. But that's, you know, they like that because it gets the ball in Draymond's hands as initiator, not as the shooter, finisher, dribble, dribble, dribble guy. And I don't know that Wiseman will do that. We'll see. And I think it's just a way to move the defense. They did it with Wiggins and Wiseman. Did you see that one time?
That was some of Wiggins' best plays.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's like Wiggins was just zooming in there, like downhill, when he got the center on him, because the center also had to kind of shade on Wiseman because he didn't want to give up the dunk. Yeah. So I think they're going to do some of that. It isn't classic Warriors Kerr offense, but they've done it before, absolutely. And he, you know, the Durant center, you know, pick and roll thing. Yeah, this they're just going to have to be able to get the defense moving because they don't have to do anything when Oubre has the ball and he's dribbling, and they don't have to do anything when Wiggins has the ball other than, you know, stay in front of him because he's not going to make that shot to the point. So we'll see. I mean, was Kerr asked about Bazemore not playing in the first half and barely at all in the game?
Nobody got that far down in the rotation because there was problems up the rotation that nobody got that, you know, to
I'm just going to say this. I like Bazemore as a person. I think he can help rotation. He's not exactly a Steve Kerr kind of player. Can we just say that?
He's supposed to be that, you know, different kind of wild card guy. Absolutely. But he's not a shooter, not a decision maker. But it is interesting. They did bring him in. He's supposed to be the defensive guy, and then you're going with Michael Mulder. And I think we've all seen this. This is the way it should be.
Damian Lee.
Damian Lee also. You know, you're giving up stuff, though. You know, when people, you know, complain about the Warriors' defense and they were not getting out on guys, Chris Middleton is not that worried when Jordan Poole's guarding him, you know? Yeah. It's just these are things that Caris LeVert isn't going to be bothered by Jordan Poole or Michael Mulder. You have to understand that and assume you're going to get points on the other side. I don't know what Jordan Poole does. I don't know what he does that makes him an NBA player at this point. I just don't. He does a few things decently, but nothing outstandingly, and some stuff he does terribly. So that's going to be interesting. But, you know, Michael Mulder's got minutes. He's got to get minutes. There's no question. He's just got to be a guy that defenses have to respect out there on the three-point line and maybe open up some spaces for everything else. It's not happening with anybody else right now. I don't know. I mean, their shooting percent, which their season shooting percentage is 34% or something right now. I mean, they are having some major problems figuring out how to get the ball in the basket.
The Steph on-ball, off-ball thing is interesting because, like, what Steph does off the ball, if you have the right teammates around him, does just unlock a crazy amount of, you know, back cuts and this and that, like what we've seen for years. But the problem is if you do not have a team that knows how to operate with Steph off ball and is going to miss him or, you know, not set the proper back cut, at some point, like all the Warriors' best looks these first couple games is when he has had it in his hand.
How many above average passers do they have other than Draymond, who hasn't played yet, on the roster?
That is a big deal. Draymond Green is their assist leader like every year. But yeah, you're right. Yes.
Like, how many could we even name?
Well, it depends on if we're talking, like Wanamaker to me is a good passer, but he's not like a playmaker. Yeah. And he's he's second on the team in assists through two games with like five, I think, is their second most assists.
Like total, right?
Yeah, five total in two games, and he's second. Curry, I think, has 16, and he's first.
Those 30 assist games are not being piled up right now by the Warriors, are they?
Yeah. Wiggins had a few interesting games late last year where he had like a 10 assist game in one of his last ones, but that's purely like, hey, he's coming off a pick and roll, he'll ping one to the corner. But it's not like, it's certainly not Iguodala type passing. Livingston, like, I'm catching and I'm swinging at the right time, or, you know, or you know how Iguodala would do the offensive rebound, ping it right back out. Yeah, it's not this team, and like, that needs to be accepted by everybody. And like, this is back to the discussion we were talking about earlier with Kerr. Like, I get him almost trying to force feed some of his stuff into this team, but I think they're probably going to decide pretty quick to rearrange some things.
I mean, they have to. There's really not any other option. And the problem is they're getting so deflated from trying to play this Warriors brand style of basketball. They don't have the patience. They don't have the ball handling. They don't have the passing. It's a lot to ask, and they're ended up taking that first shot available. Like, there was one play, Kelly Oubre's 0-for-4, Steph set the screen for him, and everybody knows the play. Steph's going to pop out on the other side, but the ball's in the air while Steph's back is to the basket. He's not having the patience to just wait for the play to develop. He takes the first open shot. I don't know. Do they just stop doing that? Is that coaching? In the meantime, while they're missing those shots, they're not playing defense. They're not getting back. So he's got to do it just to keep them in the game. It's really just a matter. Remember, it was supposed to be speed up the pace, play this transition ball, play defense, create possessions. Now they need to do it just to slow the game down.
Yeah.
They need to do it to eliminate possessions on the other spot. Like, put the ball in Curry's hands, make a play, let the action spin off of that, at least to get these guys some confidence, because they just do not have confidence right now.
Reminded of how Harbaugh saved Alex Smith's career, because Alex Smith was about to be out of the league, and he was doing these blitz reads where all these guys have different routes whenever there's a blitz. And if you're a quarterback and you see the blitz, you have to know that there's a whole second, you know, slew of routes. But it was confusing to Alex Smith. He didn't have the talent or the capacity to pull all that off. So Harbaugh just said, hey, when the blitz comes, it's all the same routes as before. Figure it out. The Warriors have a bunch of Alex Smiths. They don't have a bunch of Peyton Mannings out there. And so they gotta basically simplify. Otherwise, it is going to confuse them. They are going to be demoralized, like Marcus is saying. And I will say on the upside, before I go and tend to the standing rib roast I got to do, the upside, the Wiseman thing is huge. I mean, right now, if they were to do a redraft, it's he's in his own tier at number one. You know, I don't care what the needs are in Minnesota.
Let's have a Wiseman discussion then.
Yeah, I'll just say, listen, if they go right now to he's playing 30 minutes a game, he's getting the ball on the post, high post, whatever, he's getting the ball 15 times to do whatever we can do with him. Work off of Steph, not work off of Steph. Would that be a mistake? Let's just see how far he can go along with Steph Curry.
The way I would frame what's happened in the first two games is this season's stock has gone down. Clearly, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah.
This next decade has gone way up. Yep. Like, yep. James Wiseman yep. has skyrocketed oh, what's to come.
In part because the season stock went yes, down. Because, you know?
Yeah, because two top 10 picks. Yeah.
Got them, yeah, I know. Yeah. I said that last game. It's not a terrible thing other than having to go through another terrible season.
There's going
to
be 72 games of this yeah, postgame yeah. whining from, like, exactly. the entire fan base.
But, no yeah. question. But if Wiseman is good, everyone's healthy, Clay's coming back, and they get the sixth pick and the seventh pick, oh my God, you know.
That seems preferable at this point, right? Yeah. Like, yes. That seems like, yes. you know, let's just do that.
Then the they muscle to the sixth seed or into the play.
And everyone's disgusted with their wins late in the season.
And Kevin Durant dominating them at least makes them feel better about when Clay comes back. So that's, all the bad is good. All the bad is good.
Yeah. Just wipe out a whole other season for the Warriors. We're doing it already. Listen, it's two games. They might be. I still got Steph Curry. You don't want to burn Steph Curry prime years. I know Steph doesn't want to burn Steph Curry prime years. You haven't seen Draymond with his team yet. But it is a weird little thing that Wiseman makes. You know, this whole thing makes them worse for this season. And, man, the picture for oncoming seasons only gets brighter and brighter. It's just this weird double thing going on right now.
Steph has got to play worse, is what I'm saying.
He's got to play like the Dark Knight right now.
No, I know. It's like the Dark Knight, though. You know, he has to take the slings.
Just keep doing what he's doing right now.
Him returning to form is necessary for this thing to also skyrocket into the future. Like, he needs to have an extended prime.
I don't know. It's like Gotham needs him to pretend to be bad for the good of the Warriors, is what I'm saying, for the next season.
Okay, with Wiseman, though, obviously the good is eye-popping. You know, I mean, the 7-foot-1 standing reach, the shooting that we're talking about, the pick-and-roll dive dunks, the gazelle, you know, transition stuff. I mean, as Ethan said, you redraft today, which is pretty early redraft, but yes, number one. What about, there are people online talk about his defense. You know, I think his defensive awareness has been probably a little bit less than you would hope early. Obviously, it's only two games. The hand, sometimes he's fumbled some passes. You'd like to see him maybe get a little bit more physical for rebounds. Like, what do you got, like, nitpick Wiseman a little bit? Because we know, obviously, this has been an unbelievable two games, but nitpick him.
Hands are kind of weak.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, he's going to get these lob, he's going to get these quick passes, and that takes awareness, and he hasn't been tremendous at that. There's guys who are better at it, but they're usually veterans. And, you know, it's the middle traffic, you're going at high speed. It hasn't been fantastic, but I think you could live with that for now. I think his awareness, but, you know, they give him Giannis, right? Second game, go your guard Giannis. And that's going to be tough. And he kind of got distracted a couple of times, and Giannis goes right past him. But again, that's more like collegiate basketball than it is NBA basketball. So there's little things here and there, but I don't think they're big things.
I liked how in game one against Brooklyn, he was like trying to block shots and swinging like wildly. And it was like he wasn't getting to any of them. And it was like, hold on. I mean, to be 7-1, like he should seem like he should be a better, like, with the instinct and timing of shot blocking. But today he looked like a regular, he looked like a young shot blocker, but he still looked like he was able to get two balls. He seemed like he timed it better. He even snatched one out of the air. One, he kind of swatted too far. You could tell he didn't want to block it that far because it almost went out of bounds and he went chase it down. But it just felt like from game one to game two, he got his timing better on shot blocking. And I think that's pretty impressive for a dude who's 19. I imagine then the first game was just like, he said he had jitters, right? He said it was jitters and the game slowed down in game two. But the fact that he was able to get to shots, I think he had three blocks in game two and none in game one.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty important.
You know, what's interesting? I mean, they've talked about from practice day one to scrimmage one, much better. From scrimmage one to scrimmage two, much better. From scrimmage two to opener, wow, he's surprising the opener. Really, from game one to game two, wow. It seems like they're like, man, this guy is picking stuff up quick and putting it to use on the court quick. And they keep talking about what type of worker he is, what type of learner he is. So
he went coast to coast and dribbled around Kyrie twice, going full speed in transition with an inside out dribble. I mean, there are aspects to his game that I think we have are far from seeing fully realized. And we can nitpick the defensive awareness, the hands, maybe not the best hands, hasn't been that productive in the two-point area. But overall, I mean, just the talent level, I mean, he is so much better and looks so much better than he did in that Oregon game, you know, his only real game against college competition. So I think he's given Warriors fans a lot of reason to be excited and to tune into a bad season potentially.
I mean, and this probably should have been part of everyone's pre-draft, you know, scouting report on him. He fits the NBA game more than he ever would have fit a college game, you know, just the crunch college court and everything. I mean, he's that type of athlete. Those guys always thrive more in the NBA.
He's out of place a lot. I want to see him like not have to be the quarterback first. You know, Draymond is really good. Bogut was good at this. Even David West was like being that linebacker, right?
Yeah.
To kind of tell everybody where to go. I wonder if that'll help him with his position. He is out of place a lot. He's kind of easy to manipulate. If you're the offense, it's easy to get him out of place. But I want to see how he does with that when there is a quarterback back there on the defense, and that's exactly what Draymond is.
You led us into probably what should be our final discussion, which Draymond Green has got an opportunity here to quickly re-jump his reputation league-wide. I mean, if he comes in here and you know, turns them around, they're 2-2 coming back home for a 7-game homestand because he injected life in their defense. He started, you know, making some of the off-ball stuff work with Steph. Like, this is an opportunity for Draymond. I do think he's going to be back Sunday.
Yeah, and a good time. You know, Chicago and Detroit coming up. It's not, you know, if they had a place it this way, that maybe you're going to lose those first two games to Brooklyn and, you know, in Milwaukee anyway, and then look great. Let's see. Maybe they do against Chicago, Detroit. I have a little theory, too, that the teams that were not in the bubble are probably going to be awkward to start. Warriors were not in the bubble. Chicago was not in the bubble. Detroit was not in the bubble. There have been very few non-bubble teams that have beat bubble teams so far this season. I think none. There's been none. So we'll see how they look with Draymond back, with Wiseman going well, and they're playing two teams that could be just as struggling as the Warriors. The Warriors don't want to be in that category, right? They think of themselves as beyond that. But right now, they probably just be the best team of the non-bubble would be a step up for them because they have not been that so far.
Where Draymond will help them is obviously like they just need more life defensively. They need more confidence. Yeah,
connection. They need connection.
They need more bruising out there. But where he won't is the shooting. And I think Marcus is maybe writing about that. But you know, they're adding another,
it's pretty bad.
Yeah, they're adding another 29% 3-point shooter who's gonna play 30 minutes a night. So
hey, 29% is an upgrade, sir.
Somebody said that too. Somebody tweeted that. Said Draymond needs to get back to help the 3-point shooting.
Exactly. He's gonna be one of their best 3-point shooters. Ooh, baby.
It's pretty bad.
And you will want to hear about it for 70 more games on
the
all 82.
The all 72. All right. Warriors, Bulls, Warriors, Pistons. I would say anything below 2-2 coming back home for the homestand will be disappointing. Certainly 0-4 would be a nightmare.
Yeah, to give themselves confidence and give the fan base a little sanity, I think they need to blow out one of these teams. And they need to win both, and they need to blow out one of them.
Steph ended his post-game saying we need to win immediately.
Marcus, the last thing I want to ask, because you just brought it up, and you were on Steph's post-game, and I talked about it at the beginning. That's as pointed as I've heard him. I thought he was as critical as you'll hear Steph.
Yeah, I mean, he's 32 years old. you got to know there's a part of him that's like, am I really about to go through this again? Like a second year wasted? You kind of get the sense that he believes that they can be good, but I've never heard Steph essentially be like, yo, just give me the ball. They're not getting him the ball off the, you know, off the ball. They're not, like, finding him. And you kind of get this vibe where I think he's expecting to have a breakout game. I think he tried to today, and he doesn't have it. So, I mean, some of it is on him, too, right? He's just got to play better. If he plays better, it'll loosen up a lot of things. But right now, he's not making shots. I get the sense you'll get impatient. What'd you used to call it, TK, back in the day? He would get
Steph Curry versus the world.
Curry versus the world.
Probably. Yeah, Steph Curry versus the world. Coming. Yeah.
I think that's probably coming.
I think Warriors fans kind of like that. We'll see what happens on Sunday.
All right, guys. Sunday it is. Bulls, another non-bubble team. Tim, there's two non-bubble teams to close this road trip, so you no longer have that excuse.
If they're 0-4 coming out of this, there's sirens blaring and trouble ahead. So we shall see.
All right. Talk to you guys later.